Good evening. It's an interesting evening out there, isn't it? Congratulations. You made it. For those on the internet, it's started to snow about a couple of hours ago, quite fiercely. So it was fun getting here. Let's have a prayer. Lord, just bless these words now. And thank you so much for this evening that is set apart for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I am partly here because I'm going to talk just a few minutes about Singapore. My wife and I are going there in the first week of February. And there should be a map there. So that's my red pen there. I did that. And this is kind of, if anybody does not know where Singapore is or have not heard much of anything about Singapore, you're about the same place that I was 6 months ago, because I didn't know much about it either. But you can tell the neighborhood, there's surrounded on one side by the Malaysia. It's actually a small island. It's the word Singapore is much bigger than the actual Singapore. It's kind of hidden behind those words. And then you have Malaysia to the north, Cambodia, Thailand's over to the left, Philippines. So you can kind of see the neighborhood. It's about 6 million people in Singapore. There's about 75% of those that live there are Chinese, like ethnically Chinese. I'd have to look it up, but then it was Malaysian was the next thing. I think 15% Malaysian, and then 7.5% Indian. So it's kind of an interesting demographic of people. But the great thing is it's an English-speaking country. And for East Asia, that's pretty special. It's actually the commonly used language for everything. And even though they have languages that, you know, according to their ethnicity, a lot of people speak Mandarin. You've got Hindi, Malay, Tamil, but it's all connected by English. So you don't have to learn Chinese or anything to go there. It's kind of fun. And then it's a city-state. I think there might only be three in the world. I thought I read about one was Monaco, and then there was another one. Can't remember what the other one was. Yes, I think it was Vatican City. Yes, I think Vatican City is a city-state, and the third one is Singapore. And it just basically means it's a city that's a country. So it's a very small area, but anyway, Avril and I are excited about going there, and we are hoping that it will be a long-term mission. And our desire is that God will allow us to stay there, that we can plant churches in Singapore, have a Bible college, and that there would be a work that starts there. So we appreciate your prayers from this body. We appreciate all of you to remember us and to think about it, and maybe, God can stir us and remind us in prayer, along with the amazing, like, other missionaries that are out in the world. And let's just kind of see what happens. See what happens. It's kind of exciting. Over the last several years, I've kind of thought it'd be fun to go and just start from zero and try to, just go to a place and just pray and evangelize and see what happens. It's kind of a fun experience. And I was thinking, it'd be fun to do that again. And God has allowed us to do that at this time. So I'm kind of happy about that. It's exciting. And there are people that are interested. There are people that are praying about going and joining us there. The plan is that Avril and I go first, and we figure some things out, hopefully, and we can feed information to some other people that are praying about going and being a part of the team. So this is, this is fun, our spirit, and we sense the Holy Spirit in this. We don't exactly know, how long we will be there. It could be a long time. It could be a short time. In my mind, I'm thinking a long time. But these things are not up to us. They're up to God. So just as a kind of a thought that goes along with this, I was thinking of 1 Peter chapter 1. And this weekend I shared with some friends in Asia on this topic, and I was kind of meditating too, just even about Singapore and what are we going to do there. Like, what are we going to, we're going to go to Singapore, what are we going to do there? And one of the things that came to me was, we're moving to Singapore to think. There's a verse here, 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." And then also, 1 Peter chapter 3, in verse 15, it says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear." When we go to Singapore, it's like, what is my plan? My plan is to really receive God's thoughts, and from the Bible to receive God's thoughts. Reading the Bible, having the Holy Spirit work, having the Holy Spirit speak through the Bible, and to receive and to think God's thoughts. That's what I'd like to do in Singapore. Of course, we're going to evangelize. Of course, we're going to invest in people. We're going to disciple. We'll preach. We'll worship. And also, I want to think. I want to walk down the streets of Singapore, and I want to think with God. I want to be seeking His thoughts. I want to receive His thoughts, and then think and live in the thoughts that He gives us through the Scripture. So that's really what I was thinking. Just, I think, you know, God wants people in places that, you know, are fellowshipping with Him through His thoughts. And of course, everybody here does this in Baltimore, and people are doing it throughout the world, in the midst of church planting, Bible college, and discipling. There's an amazing layer of thinking, of being ready every morning, girding up the loins of your mind, being ready to receive something fresh from God and live in that and to think with Him, meditate with Him, fellowship based upon those thoughts. The psalmist said, like, there's, your thoughts are many and wondrous towards me. And there's never a shortage. There's never a shortage. So that's what we'd like to do. We'd like to hunger for that, to think with Him, to live in those thoughts, and to walk the streets of Singapore in His will, thinking what He is thinking, thinking the same things, and just watching His will be done and His character be revealed. So thank you for your prayers. I appreciate it. And God bless.
Okay, we want to welcome Nathan back from Finland. Nathan. Nathan, come on down just for a second. Just stand right down the front there. Just so he came back, and he brought the weather with him. So wave to the camera. There we go. All right, we're so glad you're back. What would you say to everybody?
Preach the gospel. Everywhere. Amen. Not only here, but also in the neighborhood and in other countries.
Do you think you're going to move? Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah. Do you think you're going to move to Finland?
Maybe.
Maybe.
We have to talk about that.
We have to talk about it, and we pray about it, right? All right. Praise the Lord. Good to have you back. All right, you may be seated. Scott Dubé, thanks so much for plowing out there. That's amazing. There's a wedding tomorrow. How does the weather go? It goes, we have the snow, and then it ends when? Tonight or tomorrow? Tomorrow morning. Then the rain comes. Rain comes, and the temperatures go up, and the snow goes away. That's the plan. Then the wedding happens. So that's like what, you know. Is anybody here a prophet? Okay, turn to 1 Samuel for our message tonight. And it's about, it's from the text we shared this morning, chapter 14. And Pastor Mike, he just said what I know what he means is go to Singapore, meditate and pray, and have God's word, and people come to listen. And he did that in China with Avril and the team, and he did a great job in China. Absolutely so good. Great job. This is an excellent pastor, and he did such a good job. And now, because of the change in things, now they're moving to Singapore. So I believe they're going to be very successful just because of what he said. We're going to go, we're going to pray, we're going to walk the streets, pray, meditate on the word, and then speak God's mind. Gird up the loins of our mind and minister the word, and they're going to be fruitful. And he said, yeah, it's a lot of fun. He's looking forward to it, and he wants to do it again. He did it in China, and he wants to do it again. It's going to happen in Singapore. That's amazing. Thank you for that. Tonight, I'm going to repeat the morning message shortly and go on into the second part of it. And this is 1 Samuel 14, verse 24. We didn't read the whole text this morning, and bear with me. I know that we have one historical interpretation of the scripture, but we have many spiritual applications. And I'm going to take the liberty to use this and apply it to a principle that you will see, verse 24. And the men of Israel were distressed that day, for Saul had adjured the people, saying, "Cursed be the man that eats any food until evening, that I may be avenged on my enemies." So none of the people tasted any food. So he got the idea that nobody's to eat today, and we will have a military victory. And all they of the land came to a wood, and there was honey upon the ground. This morning we said that that honey represents God coming to the ground and ministering finished work and grace, God coming into our world, God being humble. Samson said, he killed a lion. 3 months later, the bones are there, and the bees have made a beehive in the carcass, dried out bones. And then he came back 3 months later, ate the honey, and he had a rhyme, or what's that called? A riddle, that the sweetness came out of the eater. The eater is the lion. Sweetness came out. That reminds us of Christ. Christ is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Out of him comes this sweetness. And we have resurrection food. So this is something to consider. Verse 26, when the people were come into the wood, behold, the honey dropped, but no man put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. So they were forbidden to eat it. And we said this morning that that happens amongst us too. That maybe there is honey there, but you may not know it. You may not see it. Even if you see it, you may not eat it. It's forbidden. And maybe somebody tells you, don't eat the honey. Don't eat the honey. Don't eat the honey. Application. Don't go to the church. Don't read your Bible. Don't believe in God. It doesn't work. We can't do it. The devil forbids us to eat the honey. The world system says there is no honey. There is no honey. Only in Las Vegas do we have honey for you at the casino. We have honey for you in the bar room. We have honey for you, but it isn't honey. It's poison. Christ has the honey. Christ has the food. Christ gave us grace. Christ gave us the Holy Spirit. Christ is the answer for the human heart. Christ satisfies the person. Verse 27. But Jonathan heard not when his father charged the people with the oath. Wherefore he put forth the end of the rod that was in his hand. There's always somebody around who has eaten the honey. There's always somebody in our society who has eaten the honey. There's always a man or a woman of God that ate the honey. They didn't hear the oath. They don't know what you're talking about. It's normal to eat it. I need it. I eat it every day when I go as a missionary to Singapore. And by the way, look at the geography of that place. Isn't that Yeah, wow, the center of the universe. When I go to Singapore and I eat the honey, and I am restored in my soul, and I have faith in my heart and the Spirit of God in my life. Verse 27, he dipped it in the honeycomb and put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes were enlightened. Then answered one of the people and said, "Your father straightly charged the people with an oath, saying, 'Cursed be the man that eats any food this day.'" And the people were faint. You know, people care about the wrong things. They're worried about the wrong things. People are distracted. When the spies went into the promised land, they said there are giants. The walls are high. There's like armies and kingdoms. And it's not, they care about the wrong thing. They've lost sight. They're worried. They're afraid. It says in 1 Corinthians 7:32, "I would that you would be carefree without anxiety." Jesus in Matthew 6, he said that we are not to worry about what we eat or what we are clothed with. Philippians 4, "Be anxious for nothing." I love the carefreeness of Pastor Manny Harrison, who's sitting right back there. They said there's a snowstorm tonight. He goes, "I don't know what you're I'm from the Philippines. I don't know what you're talking about." No, joking about. Wait a minute, I got to get this point. Jonathan didn't hear what his father said. Read the next verse, 29. "Then said Jonathan, 'My father has troubled the land.'" My father has troubled the land. Well, wait a minute. He thought that if we would fast for the day, that we would have victory. But Jonathan is seeing it a different way because he ate the honey. His eyes were enlightened and he had a military victory. He is going to do it. We read it in the chapter. He has a military victory. He has the strength to do it. So I want to just use that to make my point tonight. Thank you, Lord. So, let's see. Trouble. The Israelites were at the Red Sea. They were in a lot of trouble, Exodus 14. They didn't have the food to eat also on the other side, Numbers 20. Moses was delayed up in the mount in Exodus 32. The spies brought their report, and everybody was troubled. Elijah was under the juniper tree and in the cave in 1 Kings 19, and he was very troubled and very worried. The disciples, as to how the multitude could be fed, they were troubled. They were troubled in the storm on the Sea of Galilee when Jesus was asleep on the ship. When Christ was crucified, they were troubled. When Mary was at the sepulcher, she was troubled. And when the people were shipwrecked with the Apostle Paul, they were troubled. I am thinking it's so easy to be troubled in my heart. There are so many things in the world that I can be troubled over. Some people feed on the trouble, like on the news and the politics and the economy and all kinds of things that happen every day. Even the things that haven't happened yet that we worry about and we are troubled, but nothing has happened yet, but we're troubled. When nothing has happened, we are worried and we are troubled. So what's the answer? It's what Jonathan says here. Read it. He says in verse 29, my father has troubled the land. I'm the pastor of the church here. I hope I'm not troubling you. I could. I am the father of a family. Are you troubling your family? You could. Randy and others, they run businesses and they could be troubling their business. Yes, I could be a teacher in school and I could be troubling the classroom and troubling the school. I'm a Bible college teacher and I could be troubling the Bible college and the students and leading them in worry and leading them in fear. It is so easy to do that. But this morning we preached from Romans chapter 8 that there's honey on the ground right where we are living all the time. And we said, it's really on the ground. Remember, my soul cleaves to the dust. And when my soul cleaves to the dust, God is there with the honey. And he's saying, turn to me. I am the one you're looking for. I will fill you with my spirit. I'll make you carefree. I'll restore your youth like the eagle. I'll build you up in the most holy faith. I'll show you the way. That my way is easy, my burden is light. I'll give you a light heart and worship. I'll teach you to pray and meditate, like Pastor Mike said. Like, we're just going to go to Singapore and meditate and pray, and we're going to love people and share the message and gird up the loins of our mind. In other words, we're going to embrace the honey that comes from God, and that people say, don't eat it. It's not there. Don't even look for it. It can't happen. Well, it does happen. It's real. So read the last part here. It says, I pray you how my eyes have been enlightened in verse 29, because I tasted a little of this honey. How much more if happily the people had eaten freely today of the spoil of their enemies which they found? For had there not been now a much greater slaughter among the Philistines? We need to eat. So, let's see. What do we have here? Contentment. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Psalm 37:7. Wait upon the Lord, wait patiently for him. I had a time like that yesterday in my study. I just sat, I read, drove one place, sat at a park for an hour and a half, and just read my Bible without any distraction and was just praying and thankful for all that God has done. Wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself because of him who prospers in his way. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. You might not have much, but you are a righteous man. You have great treasure. A good man shall be satisfied from himself. Proverbs 14:14. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. And that's like us gathering together tonight with a merry heart. And he that is of a merry heart has a continual feast. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and a good report makes the bones fat. I want to hear good news. Have you shared good news with people? Do you have a good influence on them? Have you eaten the honey that is from the ground? I mean, it's from God, but it's from the bees, of course. But meaning it's here, it's mine, and it's what's so important for our lives. Proverbs 16:8, better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. Better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices with strife. A merry heart does good like a medicine. Okay. One last part I think I have here to read to you. I quoted it. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. What are you worried about? Eat the honey and say your prayers. Yeah. Winnie the Pooh, did he eat a lot of honey? Wasn't he a honey eater? He was eating the honey, yeah. The believer, looking for the grace, looking for the Spirit to build me up when I come into the body of Christ, looking for the edification. And then we are able to do what God has called us to do. What has God called Nathan to do? What has God called Bensku to do? Every time when I was in Finland, I would say, Bensku is marrying my granddaughter, Mika, and everybody would get on the edge of their seat. Yes? Yes? Where will they get married? I don't know. Well, what are they saying about it? Nothing. Did they get married in America or in Finland? I don't know. Then they wanted to hear about Bensku and the singing, and they want to hear about the Bible school, and could Bensku and Mika move to Finland? And we, you know, and I was like fooling around with them like I usually do, and having a good time with them, and I'm so happy about it all and thankful to God for it. And I am saying that you and I have a lot of reason not to find the honey. It's not there, the devil says, but it is. You can't eat it, the devil says, but we do. The world says, don't pay any attention to it, but we do. And let's pray. Let's think of this lastly. I would like all the young people in America to turn to Christ. I would like all the NFL quarterbacks in the whole league, all the wide receivers, all the coaches. I would like everybody in Hollywood. I would like all the governors of all the states, all the congressmen and all this to turn to Christ and find the honey that satisfies. I would like God to bless in Singapore so that years from now we'll have churches there and all in the Philippines and Vietnam and Cambodia and Malaysia and Singapore and Indonesia and Irian Jaya and all the islands, Fuji and Fiji and all the other places in the South Pacific, and have churches all. I would like all of them to turn to Christ and find the honey that enlightens the eyes and encourages you in your faith. Do you have a marriage problem? Raise your hand. Two automatically right over there. Find the honey. Go ahead. Say it. Turn to them and point your finger at them and tell them, find the honey. Find the honey. It's right on your feet, right down there. Find the honey. Are you discouraged? Find the honey. Are you alone? Find the honey. You don't have a, hey, listen to this, you don't have a wife. Find the honey. Hey, you don't have a husband. Find the honey. Find the honey. You're alone. Whatever it is, you're in trouble. That's it. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Lord Jesus, Avery Powers found the honey. Bensku Holopainen, he found the honey. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. We have really found you. Seriously, we have found you. Thank you, God. Sometimes it's in the prayer closet. Sometimes it's alone in the car reading your Bible all the way through. Sometimes it's acts of faith and obedience and going out on the out to talk to somebody and sharing your love with them and caring about them. Sometimes it's just going to church and sitting and letting God shower me with His grace and His love. Thank you for this family, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for those that are here and those that are home. Lord, pour your blessing on us this week and lead us, God, in Jesus' name. Anyone listening to hearing this message, come to Jesus tonight. Repent of your sin. Turn from your own way. Embrace Him by faith. Say no to the stuff that's bothering you and troubling you. And lift up your eyes and trust in Jesus and walk by faith in Him with all your heart. Lean upon Him. Lean upon Him and trust Him in Jesus' name. Amen.